Okay, Urbosa. We had just started some cuff pay tests, as we recall. We won't go over what we already said. Any type of shade of red is tummy. Kenko Mari Shachar and black. Ain Tar El Mari Lavan. Vechain Mari Yarok. Afiluk Mari Ashava. Ohazahav. White or yellow, even like wax or gold. Vekolshkin Yark Kartioka Asavim. For sure, green. Vechain Mari Shpon Adar Maplosh Nashu Blue. Vekol Yaroku. Not that green and blue are very common. Vafilu yishbo smichas avu av harbe, even is very thick like dam. Vafilu hirgishas nith of norbod kabiyan, matzah maris lotor, even if she has a hargasha that her uterus open, if she finds the other colors, it's okay, because they're not dam. The taz brings down a strange chumrah. I don't think this matches our modern science for the Bach, who says he found that if she took a bath, and then has a thick white discharge, then maybe it's really blood that just got cleaned in the bath. So it's a problem. And he says, no, we never heard of this. No one is hoshed for that. Okay, we discussed black pine brown. One of the fellows came over me afterwards and pointed out that in the Shira Shiva Halevi here, he's machmar brown. Okay, so we have a big, almost contemporary posting of machmar brown, but our minhag and the minhag of most of the world is to be makel on brown, as long as it's not reddish at all. And as we mentioned, this is the thing that we left off with, when brown is reddish. When brown is not reddish, is a little tricky, and that's what people learn when they do shimosh in maros. Okay, a few other discussions here in the postkin. Come out of this interesting story. In the Sanctus Nida, I think this is up in the days, with Rebbe. He saw Dom at night and he thought it was bad. Then he looked at it again the next day, and then he saw that it was good. So he said it's okay. And then, okay, it's not exactly clear. The Gemara says, then he questioned himself, and I said, why do you question himself? You just go what we see in front of you. So he said, then he saw that it continued to fade and get yellower and yellower. So he says, well, last night it must have really been bad. And the reason it looked good today is because it faded. The proof is it continued to fade. Here we have a big deal in the postkin. Like, what about the Stam case? How about if it looks one way at night and looks a different way in the morning? What do we say? Do we say, on the one hand, you could say, like the first stage in Gemara, the first stage in Gemara says, he should have just gone with the morning. Because so maybe, if it looks red at night, but looks yellow in the morning, you can go with the morning. So in the morning, you see better. And that's your real re'iyah. Or maybe no, just like in Rebbe's case, it looked bad at night and good in the morning. And really, it was bad. It was just fading. Maybe every time it looks bad at night and good in the morning, you should be cautious that it's fading, like in the case of Rebbe. That's a little ambiguous from the Gemara. Why do we say it's ambiguous from the Gemara? Because the Gemara, sort of the Havamina, is that night bad, day good. The Havamina is that it's just, good light and bad light. So it's really good. The Kamash plot of the Gemara is night bad, day good. Later in the day, it's even lighter. So you put light on the right, it's fading. If it's fading, then probably it was really bad and it just faded, right? Then it's faded, and this is the original. And it's really bad. That's a Gemara. The big deal in the Achronim is how do you understand the Maskana of the Gemara? There are two ways to understand the Maskana. The Maskana of the Gemara is that if it looks bad at night and good the next day, then it probably just faded and it's really bad. Not like the Havamina. Is that Maskana only if you look at it twice during the day and keep fading? Or there are always something for that. That's not clear in the Maskana of the Gemara. Do we only think that it faded? Yeah, you see it fading more and more during the day, or no? The Maskana is that in Astam, that's what we think happened.
So that's not so clear. What about, you know, a spam case? Spam the mascara. Nine, it's bad. And day, it's good. Not so clear. Do we say faded or do we say, no, you just had better light during the day? Not clear in the Gemara. So that's the discussion of the Pesach Shuvim of Gan Aleph. He quotes, there's a big machlokas, although he only quotes. Seems to only put one opinion. He says, he quotes two opinions. The Gibbash Shol says, Kesem Shabalayla Nin Milamari Tame. It's not clear exactly what it means by Nin, but let's read Pshuto. Oyam Shuyosh Nir Shumari Tar, Yishlahakalu Taher, Shafu Bushay Srad, Kosvalov, Balam Achashar O, by Yom Ro, Opam, reading the first verse of Chub again, Achashar Barosh, Nishanam, Risha Shona, Yishlahasro, Ayin Sham. Okay, what does the Gibbash Shol of Pilu Bushay Srad say? If you see it keeps fading, assume it's fading. But Minat Sam, you can assume it's okay. So says the Gibbash Shaul, no, bad light and good light. And therefore, it's really okay. However, that is the unless you see it fading more, right? But if you don't see fading more in a Stam case where there's no third stage, it's okay. However, he continues and says, the Sivri Kara says, says the Gibashon, no. In a Tam case, we assume this is faded. And this is the original. This is the Rikara. And therefore, it's bad. What's the only exception? He says, if you weren't sure at night. If you weren't short night, if you weren't short night, then wait till the morning. You're not short at night, right? First you get popkin. If at night you're not short, then wait till the morning. Then you're better light. But if at night it looked bad, then you can't change your sock in the morning suit. The choshe should fade it again. The question is whether to take this kamash one only in this okemta, if there was a third stage, or menasam, we assume it faded. That's machlokes in the Gavashal and the Sidrei Tara.
And what if it helped if we were Misafik Delilah? Being your Misafik Delilah and
then. Or does have a principle called Aimlo the Dayan Elamasha in of Ramos. You only go by what you see, meaning if you only have one Vada, you have to go by that. That's a halachic principle that even though something might change, Aimlo the Dayan Elamasha in of Ramos. So the question is only what to do if you have a Stever between in of Ramos. Okay, this is what we paskin Allah Lamaita, we paskin like the Sidri Tara. That, yeah, at night, if it's for sure red at night, and then later it is yellow, then, or yaruk, then we assume it faded, and we go by the Amol Dain El Vashay of Rose the first time. However, if you were supik at night, then you're allowed to go by what it looks like during the day. Halach l'maisa, from what I've seen, both in terms of what the scientists say, I showed some of you this chart, this printout from the internet of the different colors of different kinds of lights. The certainly most of the lights that we use of the standard incandescent light and certain candles in those days and most fluorescent lights are much redder than the sun. And therefore at night, when we use artificial lighting, it really won't look so great. So halacha l'maisa, what does this mean? If something is red to you, if it's red at night, and it fades by the morning, then you have to be machmir and assume it faded. However, it would be good advice for all rabbis that if you see something at night, and you know, even if it looks a little reddish, maybe it looks a tiny bit reddish, not horror to you, then it's good to conclude at night that you're misupik what it would look like in proper lighting. And if you conclude at night you're misupik what it would look like in proper lighting, then you can be maker, like the Sugei Tara assumes, to go by what it looks like during the day. So even though, this is an interpretation of the Sugei Tara, halacha l'maisa, this is what I've learned, that if you make a psak at night, then you're stuck with that psak. You can't revisit it during the day. However, if you conclude with the psak of Suffolk at night,
then you can revisit it during the day. So therefore, unless it's very, very clear, it would be good to conclude with a, be good to not look at all at night, or conclude with a psak of safek, and then you can revisit it during the day.
Just practically how that would look, meaning someone brings a mara.
So when someone brings a mara to, when someone brings a mara to me,
at night,
one second, looking for something, where to go. Here we are. Let's go back for a second. Good question. What does that mean practically? Let's go to the Torah Shlomos of Katan Aleph. See the Torah Shlomos of Katan Aleph? He says, V'zel lashon haTorah, Dvar Torah, Chamisha Damon Tmeim, Be'ish of Tu Lo, Ba'idna She'es Ma'ra, Ba'kiyas Chazul, L'tamas Kol She'es Bo'mara Adom, V'chuli, V'nirli, V'tam Zeh, Lo Hetek HaTorah V'mechaber, Ketat Dinei G'chach Ma'atva L'uras Dam Nida. There's a whole sugya about exactly what kind of light do you see for passing Dam Nida. It's not in the Torah and it's not in the Mechaber. Why not? So he's a great answer. In Rome, David, Hain in Rome, Dam Alayla, that you can't, whether or not you can do it at night, the answer is no. And to make shade with your hand on the dam, the Gemara says you need a specific kind of light. What is it? Shaded sunlight. You need shaded sunlight. Okay, again, the scientists tell you shaded sunlight has a certain color spectrum. Shaded sunlight, and what does that mean? Don't do it at night. At night, there's no sunlight. Maybe during the day, not in bright sunlight, where really you can't see much in bright sunlight. In any case, in shaded sunlight. You don't have to shade with your hand if you're next to a building. There's shade of the building, but if you're standing in the field, then you make shade with your hand to make shaded sunlight, or with your body to make shaded sunlight. Why is this not in the Shulchan Aruch? The answer is, the of Rambam, etc. We shum the didan in the Torah l'mara l'om v'yarek v'yizem v'tzorot iyo v'dikdik heitev ki v'kal yochel ha'afin kol zeh l'chein kol inish yitzha chacham yuchel liros k'dei l'tar v'l'tam v'chein kos v'rayim v'asagos v'rkeng hilchos yisurei b'ya. Okay, it's not so clear that that's right. It meant, forget the right, but for now, that's, you know, his but what does Torah Shlomo say? Now, in the old days, it was hard to see dam. You have to know which shade of red. Nowadays, it's shmizi, and therefore, you're not mocking on the light, and that's why the Mechaber didn't tell you what kind of light to use. Okay, he could be right, but, you know, looking around this room, probably the buck does not stop for us, most of us, with the Mechaber, but rather, the Ramah. Oh, let's, right, and if you look at the Ramah, oof, I didn't bring this.
Someone have a Rambam, so the Kutzari Bab, somewhere to call you?
Yeah.
Kutzari Bab, can you read me? Oh, what is this? On the left here. Who is this? Oh, okay. I'll read it. Kutzari Bab, Dalid. It's very short. Says the Rambam. Vavadika tiya l'or hayom v'lo l'or haner. Ubediyevit l'hani af l'or haner. Okay, I don't know about the Torah, I know about the Mechaber, right? Might be a nice part of the Torah of the Mechaber. They hold nowadays, you're not mocked.
But the Ramah says, in Kotzad Ibab Dalit, it's unfortunate Ramah, no two ways about it. Torah Shalom here, you know, perhaps a little misleading. I don't mean on purpose, you know, that he didn't mention the Ramah. Okay, he's just not saying this stressful, he wasn't talking. But he figures we'll get the Kotzad Ibab, and we'll know the Pshat. He was just saying the Pshat. But don't be misled. He's saying Pshat in the Torah of the Mechaber. But we hold like the Ramah. The Ramah says you should be Rola during the day. And that's, and some of you follow the Mechaber. Most posts can follow the, most Rabbanim follow the Ramah. That L'chachila during the day, only B'di'eved, you can be Rola that at night. Likewise, the Orcha Shulchan in our Simen says the same thing. The Orcha Shulchan at the end of our simon says vada gam ata nochon lers davka b'yom the kama pa'amar v'isi b'choshein of doma mar b'yom mar v'layla. I've all seen that b'chosh. This looks different. Akmo mechriyat yuchol lers b'layla l'horos moshein of rose. If you're stuck, you have to go and it looks like at night. Okay. The normal sit b'di'evet. B'di'evet means, right? I mean, not b'di'evet, but it means if you're stuck. You can't always wait till, what if you can't wait till the morning, right? Okay, sometimes you can pass it at night because, like, there's nothing to talk about. Like, it's obviously clean, or just obviously, like, red. But generally, the proper practice is, like the Ramah, like the Orcha Shulchan, like many Achronim, not like this more than the Torah and the Mechaber, that even nowadays is still a little hard for us. Okay, but they made it so much easier by becoming old reds. Okay, but we have so much of a
worse Masorah than the Tanoim did, so it's still hard for us. Right? Yeah, they made it easier, but we're further away from Chazal and have less of a clear Masorah, so it's still hard for us. And whatever, maybe we're just not so good at it. Nice, it's still hard for us. I've seen it be hard for rabbis. So therefore, one should only paskin in the daylight, in the sunlight, shaded sunlight, unless you're stuck. What are you, stuck? Okay. Once was I stuck, and I didn't want to, but I had to paskin at night. The only time you're stuck is what won't break the beaker from day seven, and now it's the mikvah night. She says she wants to know if she can go to the mikvah night. She can't wait till tomorrow morning. You can wait till tomorrow morning for an answer. She can't wait till tomorrow morning, then you paskin at night. Faith on how it looks. But otherwise, you should wait till the morning, which then means that as far as this big machlokas, based on the story with Rebbe, it shouldn't be such a big nachmina. We'll see. There'll be an nachmina for another machlokas also. Because really, just don't paskin at all at night. Just look at it and honestly say you're misoklik, because like, I don't paskin at night. And, don't paskin at night. However, if it's super duper obvious to you at night, then if it changed in the morning, then it faded. There's nothing you can do. You have to go by what it looked like at night. But generally, we should not paskin at night. We should leave it as a suffix at night if it's not 100% easily clear. And then we should paskin in the morning. And the Sidrei Torah would be okay with that.
No, the Rama
says not to paskin. The Rama says only to paskin in the daylight.
I know one rabbi who paskin the night of Festival today. Not sure why he's not supposed to be the Rama. But I don't think we're different than the Rama. I would say the Machaber thought nowadays it was so easy for us that we can use candlelight, and the Rama says nowadays it's a little hard for us.
Was it ever more pressing than the Shilas?
No, I mean, only you can wait until the next day for an answer. That's an interesting question. We're just like a daylight bulb, right? Like they make daylight fluorescent and LED lights. So if the daylight bulb is what it's supposed to be, then Mahor is here to provide daylight bulb and paskin at night. Yeah. Mahor, you know. I never did, but maybe I should.
The way the Torah is on your head, I don't think that it's more out there. Because see, I buy them all the time, like Mayan is
deep. And he makes it sound like no one ever has to be Mayan.
It's just like really cautious. It's like if every inner moment you cannot think about it, then you would be not.
Right. Look. Here's one thing I'm going on a limb a little. I wonder what he held about Brown. I mean, if you hold that Brown is tummy, then Ataka is easier. Right? So I wonder if, Poskim held the Brown or tummy, says there's nothing to look at. Well, since we held Brown is tougher, but reddish Brown is tummy. And keep in mind, the real Damnida is a reddish Brown. It's not a fire truck red. It's a turf. It's maybe not a reddish Brown, brownish red. But it still has a little brown in it. So it might depend what you hold about Brown, for all I know. Maybe this is a riot that he was in Tommy Brown. But I'm not sure.
In the day, they're looking for picture inside. There's some windows there. And then there was something from the window. Just turn off the lights when you're in. Go tomorrow.
First of all, you need a good window. I think so. Because the problem is these lights are very red. And then you'll be more macro than you need to be. Clearly, when Hashem entered the world, or gave the Torah, or when Chazal were talking, they didn't have they had candles. Okay, but clearly they meant the sunlight, right? When Hashem entered the world, he also needed candles. Forget about that. When Chazal were talking about the daytime, they meant the daytime as opposed to candlelight. So we mean the daytime and not the electric light. And the electric lights, they just have more red in them. I know they all look white to us. They're different colors, and they have more red in them.
Greg was implying that it might be at this point that something would potentially be like, well, we're coming up, we're going to get more time. Does that manifest today?
But I've seen Spartan also use the daylight, so I don't know. They don't seem to follow this theory of the Torah Shlomo, even though it seems to be a good one. So, not sure. Okay, thank you. The other interesting discussion here is the discussion of the Shach in Sifkat and Gimel and the Taz in Sifkat and Aleph, the second paragraph. Which is, what do we see from the story of Rebbe? We see from the story of Rebbe that colors can change. Therefore, what? Now, what was the case in the story of Rebbe? The colors got yellower in the story of Rebbe.
Or either.
Yeah, in this case, they could have got yellower. Right? What about the other possibility? If colors can get yellower, then colors can also get redder. Right? So what if the color gets redder? Okay, so here we have three shitas. Like, what if I look at it right away, it's yellow, but then later it becomes more red? The Bach comes up with a big...
Why can it get redder? I mean, I thought the nature of color is the fade.
So I should say, scientifically, it seems like colors should get yellower and not redder.
Sure,
to the best of my scientific knowledge, I agree. But I would say that the best of my scientific knowledge is still exceedingly partial. And who knows, maybe there's some reason. And we'll mention one reason in a second.
I was going to say, like the way the Bach explains it, he says it on the side.
Okay, give me a second. Okay, good. So, says the Bach, quoted in the Shach, and most poskim do not agree with him. However, says the Bach, right? What about this question? What if it starts yellow and then becomes other? So there are three sheets. Number one, says the Bach, it's tummy. If it turns other, it's tummy because the glowing also is really red. It just didn't, needed to mature, as it were. Comes up with another. Who says it's tummy? The Bach says it's tummy. It sounds like the Shach and the Taz agree with him about this. The Shvat Yaakov agrees with him about this. Right? So this is the Bach. I don't like the Shach and the Taz agree. The Shvat Yaakov, quoted in the Pesachim, the Gimel agrees. And the Shilat Yavetz, at least the Maitza agrees. Let me finish my sentence, Yuda. However, they take it in two ways. Said the Bach of crazy chumra. Not me who's calling it crazy chumra. Sachs and Taz and all the critical call it crazy chumra. And therefore what? Says the Bach, who's a das yochid. Therefore, when it's yarok, you have to wait until it dries and look again. Every yarok might turn red. Why do it turn red? When it dries, meaning, what do you mean turn red? Again, it's not going to magically turn red. He just thinks that until something dries, it can be too shiny and cover up its true colors. So he says, every time you see a tahor kesem that's wet, that's moist, you have to wait till it dries to see if it turns red. Okay, not every time you see it. Every time you see it, and it is still moist. You can't posket on a moist color. You have to wait till it dries. Everyone disagrees with the Shach and Taz and all the Achronim of Pesachei Tshuva, the Sibir Tara, all the other Achronim. Right? All the other poskim disagree. They say the Shach and the Taz and tons of Achronim say no. We don't assume something will turn red for no reason. We have no way in, no mokra chadal to assume something yellow will turn red. Nope. We have no such mokra for this in chadal. We say rather ein lo l'dayan el ma she'ein of ro'os. Ein lo l'dayan el she'ein, you don't have to worry about it used to be and what it will be. If you know, I feel nothing, therefore, you can paskin immediately. Oh, they're modem to the Bach. That if it turned red, it would be a problem. But we're not koshe it will turn red. Right? Meaning, we're not koshe it will turn red. However, we're not koshe it will turn red. However, the Chacham Tzvi and the Chalos Das here
quoted in the Pesachei Tshuva of Katan Gimel. He says, here's the Chacham Tzvi, and the Shosh Yaakov disagrees, but the Sibri Kara
leans towards the Chacham Tzvi and the Chavos Gass. Sibri Kara and the Chavos Gass. They say it's a hard why. Even if it does turn, you see, she does back, then the Shomori will turn red, so it'll be Tame. The Shach and Taz and others say, if it turns red, it'll be Tame, but we don't have to worry about it. And then Taz says, even if it turns red, it'll be Tar. Why? Because it makes her a Nida when it leaves her body. What happens afterwards is irrelevant, right? The moment it leaves her body, she becomes a Nida or doesn't become a Nida. You get change afterwards, right? Meaning that we say, Nida depends on Shas Yitzia Min Hanguf. Wow. The Shach and Taz who sound like they're not the Chacham Tzvi. And the Bach would say, yeah, of course it depends on Leisha Guf, but he's going to Slav Freya. Right? What would they say? He blew a Mil Slav. The Mafreya, that it was really red. You didn't see the red, but I'm also afraid that it was really red. That is the machlokes. Again, called 2A3. Machlokes in the Bach. Sounds like the Shach and Taz are with the Shlosh Yaakov and the Chacham Tzvi and other Chashev Achronim. The Bach says, if it turns red, it's a problem. I'm always worried it might turn red when it dries. If it's already dry, it's okay. But, you know, because once it dries, it's going to fade. But while it dries, that's different. The Shach and Taz sound like the Shlosh Yaakov. And the Shilut Yabetz, the Masupah, but the Ma'aseh Machmir says, if it turns red, it's a problem, you don't have to worry about it. Then Asam. And the Chacham Tzvi and others say, no, it's not a problem at all. Halacha L'Ma'aseh says that it's not 100% clear how we paskin in this. L'Ma'aseh, the best Eitza is, we definitely don't paskin like the Bach. And therefore, if you see something and it looks tar, just throw it in the garbage. And then you don't have to worry about what it'll look like later. You don't have to get into the machlokas. What is common is, and this is a big debate, the Aruch HaShulchan here in Sifkatan Tesvod, it's not Sifkatan, Sif Tesvod here in our Simen. He said that what's very common is that sometimes you'll have a bedikah cloth and the edges will be red. The edges will be red, but the middle won't be red. Okay, why are the edges red and the middle not red, says the Aruch HaShulchan. He says, now again, I don't understand the science, but it's definitely scientifically true. I don't know if he understood the science either. He just said, this is how it works. Somehow the red chemicals, the red part is the red is dominant, and or the red chemicals are different than the white chemicals, yellow chemicals, and somehow when it sits, the way it, I don't even have the words. Anyone here is more of a physicist can help me out here. The way it diffuses somehow is that the red chemicals are always pushed to the side, and the white chemicals always stay in the middle. So it ends up with a little reddishness on the side and with white or light yellow in the middle. And what did the Aruch HaShulchan say? In this case, what happened? It was a mix, right? Let's say you looked at it originally, it's yellow. But every yellow has a little red in it. That's not a halachic problem. It's not a halachic problem. Now, every color has a little of every other color in it in like real life, you know, in biology. Not a halachic problem. He says, if the red shifts the side over time, that just means that every combination has all kinds of chemicals within it, and the chemicals that have the red color, some might get pushed to the side through some physics that I don't have the words for. I don't think you have the words for either. Yeah, you could try it. I think he might have even said, if you look in the Aruch HaShulchan here, he said, we see all the time that we see something that's tahar, and if we leave it for a few hours, then the edges start to become red. So that's not a problem. He thinks the cooling element is not a problem. because he thinks those people who argue on the Chachatzvi only argue when it mamish turns red, which is very, very rare. Because then Igloi Milsa was always red, just it was hard to see it when it was moist. But if the edges turn red, he thinks all the achronim would be makel if the edges turn red. Because that's just a normal process, that the red chemicals would go to the side. It's not Igloi Milsa that was really red. Okay, he might be right, he might be wrong. But says the Aruch HaShulchan, he for sure, he paskins like the Chachatzvi for red edges. This is very, very common. If you're rubbing teeth all the time, it's redder on the edges and yellower in the middle. Says the Aruch HaShulchan, in that case, we can sure paskin like the Chachatzvi. In a case where Mamash turns red, not so clear if we should pass like the Chacham Tzvi. On the one hand, when it came out of the goof, it wasn't red. The other, maybe it was. It just had some shine that made us not be able to see the proper color. But if just the edges turn red, that's a natural process. The edges will always turn red. That doesn't mean that was the real color. That just means that it's a chemical process. The red goes to the edges, and it's not a problem. Look, or we can pass like this Aruch HaShulchan if you see something and it's not red. And then you should throw it out. But if you don't throw it out, and you happen to notice a few hours later some red on the edges, to pass like the Aruch HaShulchan and say it doesn't matter, that we can pass like the Chacham Tzvi, certainly for red edges. So here's where it gets a little tricky. Like, does the woman really know what she's talking about? Often a woman who, you know, is not a Rav or a Rebbetzin with a lot of experience doesn't really know what they're talking about. So I would say, go back to if, like, she has 100% clear ria that it was yellow when it came out, and then the edges turned red, let's say, then we realize there was still going to be mako. But that's I don't think that's a common case. Usually she's like, not sure. But if the woman says, what do you mean? This was like not even a shiloh when it came out. It was like the most touchy thing in the world. And then the edges turn red. Then we can make it like the Aruch HaShulchan. But if then the whole thing turns red, which I've never actually seen happen, then you get the close to the other chronim, and I think we'd have to be machmir. Okay. But the additional clue is this. Nowadays, there are some people, especially in Shalayim, have a Masorah to take the Aruch HaShulchan one step further. And they say, anytime there's red on the edge, we're sure that originally it wasn't red at all. It was just the Aruch HaShulchan's phenomenon, Aruch HaShulchan syndrome. And therefore, there are some people in Shalayim have a Masorah when there's red on the edge, even if they didn't see it beforehand, they assume it was not red beforehand and apply the Aruch HaShulchan. Okay, that is, most people don't have that Masorah, because how do you know if there's red on the edge? Maybe it's red the whole time. Just, you know, red moved to the edge. Maybe there's red in the middle that moved to the edge. Maybe it was red the whole time, just it separated out and white moved to the middle. Halacha lemaisa, it's hard to, there are some people, especially in Shalayim, who have such a Masorah, to take, isn't that the Aruch HaShulchan's case? The Aruch HaShulchan says you thought it was good and then it had red on the edge. So it can be makel. Say all you see is red on the edge, and even though Ein Lo Dain Al Mashin of Ros, you speculate that it didn't used to be red. Not red's on the edge. Not thick the edges. Not deep the red. You know, it's hard to know how to make assumptions about this. And Lamaisa, we would be machfer, even though in Yerushalayim, some people who sort of be makel. There is some like old Yerushalmi who sort of be makel to take the Aruch HaShulchan one step further. But that doesn't seem to be Pashuk Shan in the Poskim. Pashuk Shan in the Poskim is you go by what you see now. The only time it's a shaila is if you see twice and it's different. But if you only see once, bein l'chomer bein l'chuli, you should go by what you see now. So it's very, the mainstream Masorah is not to take the Aruch HaShulchan further than he himself took it. Okay, but there is such a thing out there. And in Yerushalayim, you might, or even someplace else, who knows, you might come across it. Okay, that's mostly all we have to say for this. Okay, there's some other discussions, not as, which we're not going to hazard. The one thing I want to point out, which is just like, you know, food for thought, is the Pesach Teshuvah at the end of Sukkot and Beis, quote of some sofer, about a man who wanted to be machmir. But the rabbi paskin, that a certain dika cloth was okay, but he wanted to be machmir anyway, because he's still a shayla. There's an Indian to be machmir in anything that's a shayla. So his question was,
pain enough if there's a cow and the rabbi has to paskin about it. So you say, I'll be machmer, I won't eat it. But over here, it's in a shibbutz with wife for tashmish. So can you be machmer and help us need if it's against the shibbutz of his wife for tashmish? So to be non lamakom against the non lachavero. So obviously, normally we would say that, I mean, all is being equal. If I want to have a chumer be non lamakom, but it's against your shibbutz, then I shouldn't be machmer because I have no right to be machmer and take away your rights. However, in this case, that's not so for Paskin. The other way, he says no, because every woman who gets married, he says she wants her husband to be very, very firm and to be a big tzaddik. And being a big tzaddik means being machmer about things. And therefore, we assume when she got married, she wanted her husband to be a big tzaddik, being machmer about things. Oh, what if right now she says she doesn't? Okay, she changed her mind. But when she got married, she agreed for him to be very machmer about things, and therefore he's not chayiv to her. Okay. The issue with this psak of the Chacham Sofer is that, you know, it's we can accept this psak in a vacuum, meaning does the husband have to feel like, you know, he's stealing, he's, you know, violating the din, he's an avarian if he's ever machmir and hilchos nida? No, because we can have an assumption that a Islam woman wants her husband to be a big tzaddik and big tzaddikim are very machmir. However, in real life, number one, I would add two things. Number one, you know, people have to be honest with themselves as to how big of a topic they are. I think even the Chacham Sofer would admit, he would probably deal with a very, very sincere fellow, that someone who's not machmir and everything else in life certainly should not be machmir on hilchos nida against his wife. And number two, that, you know, one has to use common sense and social skills in these things and understand each situation. And regardless of what's mutter or usher, you also have to figure out what's a good idea and what's not a good idea. And therefore, when it comes to real life cases, A, one needs to be honest about the matzav, and B, one needs to use their judgment and social skills to figure out what's a good idea and what is not a good idea. Okay.
The Rav
Paskin mutter. Oh, because there's an inyan called Behema Shahor Bachacha, that a Bal Nefesh doesn't eat anything that you have to paskin about. For example, one of the differences between Mahadrin and non Mahadrin Kashrus, again, we're not getting into the question now of, you know, when perhaps something that's called a Mahadrin Kashrus is really not, they're just like using words, maybe something that's called a non Mahadrin Kashrus really is, who knows? I'm talking theoretically at least. The difference between one of the differences between Mahadrin and non Mahadrin Kashrus in Israel now, and again, okay, everything I say is the general rule because there's 800 different, there's really probably at least 50 different Hashgachos called Mahadrin, each of which is a total given inyan, you know, some of which are, you know, very, very, very strict Mahadrin, some of which are strict Mahadrin, some of which are. Just someone said, if we put the word Mahadrin, people will buy more of it. So whatever that word means, it seems like it's good for our sales. But the difference, one of the big differences in Mahadrin, non-Mahadrin Kashrus, in Shita is, in a non-Mahadrin Shita, if there's a Shaila about the animal, they have a Rav there who paskins, and if he paskins mutter, then they sell it, which was what they did in Yemen. The Mahadrin Kashrus, if there's a Shaila, then it doesn't get the hashtag. Because Mahadrin is for those who don't want to have to deal with any shaylos, even if the rabbi paskins is okay. So if they, at least the way it used to work is, you know, if there was a Mahadrin shkita and they had a shayla and they had a rav there, and if the rav paskin was treif, then they sold it to the goyim. If the rav paskin was kosher, then they shifted it to the non-Mahadrin line because it's kosher, but it was a shayla that had to be after the rav. And if they never had to go to the Rav, then it stays in the Mahadrin line. That's a difficult Behema Shahor Bachacham, not to eat from an animal that you have to paskin about. And that's, you know, in Europe, the minute was that, you know, those who were very frum wouldn't eat. I mean, people, I guess, just knew. If you're, you know, been Torah in town, you know when the rabbi paskins, when he doesn't, that the butcher would not eat if there was a shayla. And the regular people would eat if there was a shayla. And nowadays, that turned into two different kinds of hashgacha, you know, which is sociologically fascinating, but we don't have to deal with sociology nowadays. But the Sam Sofer saying is the same for Hilchas Nida. If it's not a Shaila, it's not a Shaila. If it's a Shaila, then perhaps someone who's Mahadrid would not want to rely on the Rav's Pesach in that Shaila. Halacha Maisa, let me go further. From what I've seen nowadays in from communities, even where people only eat Mahadrid Hashdacha, they still rely on the Rav's Pesach in Hilchas Nida. In general, my Masorah from Mary Willig is that it's very good to be Mahadrid Kachmas nowadays. And then that's what I'm sure he agrees. But then nowadays it's tricky to be mahadir and asr all the time in Hilchas Nida because if you don't eat a certain hashgacha or you don't eat a certain food, etc., then what's the worst that'll happen is you'll eat a little less, which is probably good for you nowadays anyway. But too much precious in Hilchas Nida could be problematic nowadays. Okay, so the Chassam Sofer, without arguing, the Chassam Sofer, one would say that nowadays one shouldn't rush to be machmir on this. That is not our Masorah. Okay. So even the Chassam Sofer is dealing with a lawsuit between husband and wife. The husband is winning taina, but in terms of what the husband's attitude should be, I think one has to use a lot of common sense and not be too machmir nowadays. I'm not talking to Rav Chaim Kanievsky. I'm talking about regular B'nai Torah who eat Mahadrin, still should ask the Rav Shailas in Hilchas Nida. Not only because of the Shiva to the wife, but because nowadays it's been proven that too much precious in the Hilchas Nida between a husband and wife is not good. That's about all for Sif Aleph. Let's go on to Sif Bet. Nemenes Isha, Lomar Kaze Reisi Ve'avativ, Yumamari Lavan or Yorik Tahor. A woman is believed to say, a woman has a Shaila to ask the Rav and she loses it. By the way, this, you'd be surprised how often this happens. A woman says, I had a Bedika, I meant to ask the Rabbi, and it's gone. I don't know where it is. Or I know where it is, it's taken away by the garbage truck. So what happens in that case? So in a Stam case, a woman had a Bedika and was stuck and loses it. Then, some of us had a discussion about this, but in general, then she has to be machmir. Certainly, there's some discussion if what if it was a ketem, some are only drabanan, etc. But let's say it was a bedikah cloth, which we assume it's a darais shaila. If she didn't know and she lost it, we have to be machmir. So a darais lachomer. Okay, but what if she says, it was exactly this color, right? So this is the case in Gemara. She says it was exactly this color. She says, I have two shailas. Here, the first one I lost was the exact same color as this one. Rabbi, what do you say? Or she goes to the rabbi's office, and he happens to be postulating something else, and she says, it looks exactly like that. Or whatever the case may be. I don't know. She points to a sefer and said, it was exactly the binding of that sefer. That was the color. Says that color is tahor. Then we believe her. What's the chiddush? The chiddush is not that we think she's going to lie. If she wanted to lie, she would just not keep her husband at all. The chiddush is that what's the same as what is somewhat subjective. You can easily be confused. But nonetheless, we rely on her that she's not confused about what is the same color as what. However, there is a discussion in the... That the Torah of Shlomim has a sort of strange chashash. He thinks maybe we suspect the woman of lying, even if she brings, let's say she has two bedikah cloths, and she says, the rabbi is matar this first one. And we see the second one, the same color as the first one. It says maybe she suspects she's lying about the rabbi matar the first one. We shouldn't believe her. It's a very strange thing to say. It goes against all the achronim here. Dr. Chuba quotes Andre, one of them disagree with him. Okay, there seems to be some sort of having in the Torah of Shlomim here that we think she might be lying,
But that is not true at all. We never suspect a woman of lying. Rather, the only question is, did she make a mistake or not? So if she says that, if she says that it's the same color as this, we don't even think she made a mistake, and we believe her. But if she brings us a dam, and the rabbi says it's tummy, or even the rabbi says, I can't decide, I'm a suffering if it's tummy or tahor, the heel mares chacham ploni tiyuluki yotzvaze ein song for aleha. Okay, this is basically it. Against nothing, we believe her. There is no hafrat harav, then we believe her. If there is hafrat harav of tame or safek, even if it's only safek, then we don't believe her. And here's where the Torah Shlomo says something a little funny. He says, we think she's lying. That's what Shlomo implies. Even if she brings two cloths and says, the rabbi is the first one, it's exactly, we almost need to take the second one, we don't believe her. That is a das yachid that we don't hold like her. Das yachid of the Torah Shlomo. That we suspect she's lying. No. But all the poskim say, even though she wouldn't lie, we suspect she is mistaken. Okay, that is the halacha l'maisa. If we have no evidence against her, we only suspect she's mistaken. But if the rabbi sees that it looks bad to him, or even he's the suffolk, and she says, no, one just, if the rabbi, she says, what do you mean? The previous rabbi, the next rabbi, he's been paraphrasing something exactly the same as this. We suspect she's mistaken. It's not exactly the same as this. She thinks it's exactly the same, but it is not, and therefore we don't believe her. Okay, that's pretty straightforward. That's pretty straightforward, Shulchan Aruch. What comes up in the two issues that come up in the Nosei Kalim here are, and that's also what two issues that come up in the Shulchan Aruch in the Nosei Kalim. Number one, the Shach in Sifkat and Zion. Right, she can't rely on her friend, meaning she has a mara. She goes to her friend. Friend says, something just like that. The rabbi is mitar for me. She can't rely on her friend to say that something just like that. The rabbi was mitar for rabbi. She has to go to a rabbi, meaning she can't rely on just her, what it looked like, but she can't rely on comparisons if she didn't lose it. If you have it, what about lechatzila? Right? What are we saying here? Lechatzila, if it's lost, then obviously we rely on her memory. It looks just like something that was taught her, but what if it's not lost? What if we have the bedika? Then she can't say, this bedika looks just like another one. The rabbi was tired for me. Rather, she has to go to the rabbi and ask. And she can't ask her friend. And her friend can't say this looks just like something the rabbi was tired for me, meaning she can't lie. What's the difference here? The horror of the difference here is not between because her friend is female and the rabbi is male. It's because her friend is not an expert and the rabbi is an expert. Lechora, she doesn't have to go to a rabbi. She can also go to a woman who's an expert, right? Back in the old days, you know, there were some rebbetzins who would paskin because they were such an expert after, you know, their husband showed them what to do for so many years. But Kitzer, if she has the bedika, then she can't rely on her memory to compare it or on her friend. Rather, she has to take it to an expert. Okay. Lechor, the expert could be a woman. That's not discussed on the page of the Shulchan Aruch, but it can't be Chamerta, it can't be Eidli woman.
I thought that when doing the Tashlam, compares his case to the case of Rashi, which is what the Sidri Haro is going to, I mean, the idea like Tashlam Rure is taken from Rashi, and Tashlam compares it to the same case. I thought Tashlam is really just saying the same thing. I mean, the Rabbi, the Chacham, the second Chacham, he's now relying on her Eidos about
the fact that Chacham was matir that first bedika. So the question then for that second rav is, should he pass in the shayla, or should he rely on her ne'amanus about that first bedika?
Right, and that's what he goes back and forth about.
Right.
Why shouldn't he rely on her ne'amanus?
Because of the shalavuri.
But what absolutely? But Eidach and Emuni certainly don't have to be in fire.
But that's the whole thing. Why, when it comes to herself, and she has to go to the Chacham. If she sees and she has a tzafek, I mean, she has tzafek and she thinks that it's okay, then she's like,
okay. So let us.
Right. And I thought it was the same phenomenon, just now applied to a slightly different setting. I mean, another example of absolutely, just now like having the second Chacham.
I hear what you're saying. Okay, let's say this a little better. Let's say this a little better then. You're right. Okay. What are the... One case is very easy. If it's lost, then we rely on her comparison, right? Then we rely on her comparison, and we're not choshesh for a mistake. We're not choshesh she made a mistake. If it's lost, we rely on her saying it's this color, and we posken it. Okay, next case. If it is bifaneinu, and the Rav says, Tamei, or Suffolk. And the Rav says Tame or Suffolk, right? If it's Bonenu, and the Rav says it's Tame, or the Rav says it's a Suffolk, what do we know in that case? I'm not sure you're right about this. If the Rav says Tame, Tame, well, what if the Rav says Mesopak? Yeah. And we can't rely on her comparison. Right, because we're koshesh, she made a mistake. Right, okay, let me go. What's the actual piece of the Torah of Shlomo here? Walter Rafa, Yom Kihei Lono is barley, don't make Malay. Yeah, this I think the case of the Torah of Shlomo. I'm not sure that what you just said was right. Okay, I don't want to spend too much time on it.
What's the comparison to Rashi?
What?
What's he comparing to Rashi with?
What's the comparison to Rashi? What does Rashi say? Well, hey, for the Isi Lakaman, Nechse Anan. Right? That's less of the Kaman. But if it's in front of us, then we have to look at it. Right? Okay, I don't know how much, how good of a deal that is. Is that not the diuk? Because every isim v'edam achor shalosh alaver because every isim v'vati in tar v'avati in tam the tarlam sakin mitzvah shemdam v'zeti yod me'zeh alaver to cheras dam v'luzom harayin kedam zeh shemfar v'isigam v'vatonim chafam v'tiyar ne'meres isha alakin le. I don't really see the great diuk. You're saying what's his diuk from Rashi? Okay. Let us then just come to a conclusion. I hear the Taina. Shani Hosn, the last day, come on. Tashma, the Yalta, etc., etc. Let's at least deal with what he seems to be saying is this. What if Rav says Safek, and he says that right? Isn't that his case? The Rav from the Suffolk, and she says, Zet here li chacham plomi, and brings it.
She says, Zet she'uka zet here.
Yeah, it brings both bedikos. I do think this starts wrong with Gemara. She brings, and the Achronim all argue on him. She brings two bedikos. She said, Rabbi Reuven was matar this one, and here's the new one, and they're exactly the same. Look, we all see they're the same. You don't have to rely on comparisons. We all see they're the same. But Rabbi Shimon is the Suffolk. So did they rely on her that Rabbi Reuven said it was kosher, or did he have to be machker? That's the former of the Torah Sashlamen.
He's not saying that she's not
nana.
I mean, she's
saying that she's lying.
Not nana when we have it in front of
when
us.
When we're a Suffolk, Rabbi Shimon Suffolk beats her name on us. That's a big chumra.
That's basically what the Sidri Tara himself says. I mean, when he brings in Rashi to Sidri Tara, and that's why he said that she can't be so much on her own because that's her lure. So that's what he's saying, the same idea, the same exact phenomenon. It's just an extension of the Sidri Tara to the second chumra.
No, but that's when she doesn't have them both in front of her. That's when she's relying on her memory.
But it's still the same phenomenon of Echel Rure. I mean, that's like...
No, but I think it's different because is the question, do we suspect her lying or do we suspect her of being mistaken in comparisons? They're two different things. This is why it's a big finish, right? Most Afronim say, she's Tahar. Why? Because she wouldn't lie. And if she wouldn't lie, then Chacham Reuven was the tyrant, so we should be looking at that. And the Torah says, Shlomim, unless you have a different shot. Torah Shlomim says, we're not Somech on her. Why are we not Somech on her? Why are we not Somech on her? Ain't sokal nemana seisha. Okay, but we're misopic. So why can't we believe that Rabbi Reuven said it was okay?
So meaning in the case of Tommy, in the case of Tommy, we agree that that makes perfect sense.
In the case of Tommy, we have machlokes between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Reuven, so I understand. Okay, Tommy, because we suspect her of lying. I think this is a big kiddush.
We suspect her of lying?
Because what's the only other possibility? If Rabbi Reuven said it was okay, it's the same. I really think he's being super mouthy here.
Maybe she's been thinking. Maybe she started it.
Okay. In any case, Lemaisa, we pass like the Achronim, not like Torah Sashlamim. Everyone wants to defend the Torah Sashlamim. He doesn't accuse. He defends the Torah Sashlamim. Torah Sashlamim, the Yehudah Kasish Rebbe, he never accused Jews of lying. Okay. I don't know. Anyway, the Torah Sashlamim is funny. Like, my Suffolk versus this woman's Nemonis tell the truth. So he thinks my Suffolk beats her Nemonis tell the truth. All the other ones say, I promise, but she's telling the truth. Sorry, we went that it was mother. Okay, let's leave that for now. How about the simple case? Does she have to ask in the first place, right? Does she have to ask? So, what does the Shach say? Right? Shach says, what does the Shach say? Aberta. Amra, Azeh, Tiher, Li, Chacham, Tony. She has to ask. Right? If her friend says, this looks just like the one that rallied the tower for me, she has to ask. The Kiddush here is Lechatchila, we don't rely on your memory of comparison. Lechatchila, better ask a rabbi than rely on comparison. Right? We haven't seen it yet. We've seen the Bidiyavid, you brought it to the rabbi, Bidiyavid, you lost it. That's the Kiddush. The Kiddush is. Lekatchila, we don't rely on her friend's comparison. Okay, add the Sidrei Tara. Even if he says, Kazer Tiher Vechuli, Tripo Lisho. Meaning, Lechatchila, we don't rely on her comparison either. What's indeed her and her friend? What's the common denominator? They're both not experts. Right? Lechatchila, don't rely on her comparison. Okay. Again, if she's an expert and she's been trained like the rabbis are trained, then that's one thing. But assuming not the case, okay, now here it just gets a little crazy because what does this mean? This means that a woman who does, I don't know, make up 20 bedikas a month,
have to bring each one of them to the rabbi, because she can say, I remember last time that the rabbi said something like this was tahar. There are some women like that, but they're annoying to the rabbi, right? That they bring every bedikah to a rabbi, regardless. And they didn't rely on the fact that I remember last time the rabbi said something like this was okay. That's obviously not what the achronim mean. What they mean is, if it's not obvious, then if it's obvious, it's obvious. I mean, I've seen the big gloss over it to a rabbi that you could swear were brand new from the package. Or even not, but it's obvious. It goes without saying. So if it's obvious, it's obvious. So what it means is, if it's not obvious, you have to rely on what the rabbi said last time, not that it's pashut. If it's pashut, it's pashut. You're not relying on what the rabbi said last time. It's just obvious. Your Kala class told you that, you know, that this color is fine. But if it's not obvious, then we paskin, the woman should not rely on what she remembers the rabbi saying last time. Rather, she should have to again, because it's always hard to remember if it was exactly the same as last time or not. That is the halacha l'maaseh. But again, don't take it too far. This only if it's not obvious. Okay, last thing says the Shach, that Tosos wrote in that sugya, even though it's only tangentially relates to the sugya, because of a story there, that a husband could paskin his wife's maris. And we don't worry that he's nogei abadavar. Basically, there's no psul of nogei abadavar for paskin your isra hetter shaylus. Right? Another dini mamonis. Obviously, I can't paskin my own dini mamonis court cases. And not only that, we have at the very least takana that if I want to open a store, I can't paskin my own shaylus and say, don't worry, I paskin everything so you can buy for me, we require a hashgacha, etc. But for someone's private life, there's no psul of nogei abadavar. Even though, interestingly, it says the Mishnah Berurah writes, when it comes to dinei mamonos, no one should paskin their own dinei mamonos because you're a nogei abadavar, and even if the other guy doesn't sue you, then obviously you have to go to, you should always ask someone else about your dinei mamonos shaylos. Okay, but you know what? Dinei mamonos is, more nogei abadavar than isurim, and isurim says the shach, no problem. You can paskin your own isurim hetzer shaylos. And we don't worry about nogei abadavar, the same as if something happened in your kitchen. We wouldn't worry you're nogei abadavar. Says the Peskei Tshuva, quoting the Chochmas Adam, he says, that's only when it comes to damim. Why? Because she's not the chezkas, if you remember Tosfos, get it up, give more days. She's not the chezkas tuma. She is the chezkas tuma, perhaps, I guess she's Shimon. She's not the chezkas tuma because we know she's going to stop bleeding too. But when it comes to shiloh, tevila, b'mikvah, she is the chezkas tuma. Why? I mean, it's a chiddush of Tosfos. You're not the bechezkas tuma, the one's going to keep bleeding, because b'derech hateva, she's going to stop bleeding. She is bechezkas tuma that she hasn't tovold, because b'derech hateva, she's never going to tovold, unless she sees that the Torah told her to, but that's not part of the tab. Right? So says the Chochmas Adam, in shilas of dam, the husband can paskin his own shilas, but in shilas of tevila, he can't paskin, because when there's cheskas itzer, we're kosher ishbar no gei abadavar. That's the Chochmas Adam. It's not based on psychology, because psychologically, if anything, it's the opposite. No, it's based on halachah lichezkas etzer. The ma'aseh, we don't pass like this Chochmas Adam, the Urcha Shulchan, and all the other achronim say we don't hold like this cheskas Adam. A person's allowed to paskin their own isra hetter shaylas, whether it's cheskas isra or cheskas hetter. The husband can paskin his wife shaylas, whether it's a question of the dam, obviously he's qualified, or whether it's a question of the mikvah, obviously he's qualified. A husband's always allowed to paskin shaylas if it's needed between him and his wife. Not like this Chochmas Adam. The Urcha Shulchan here, most achronim disagree with the Chochmas Adam. Okay. Doesn't mean that a person shouldn't make their own personal decisions. It doesn't mean how luckily a husband's allowed to paskin his wife shaylas. Will he want to paskin his wife shaylas or not? That's his personal decision. He might say, I don't feel comfortable asking another rabbi. That's fine. You don't have to paskin your wife's shaylas in Hilchos Nida. You might say, I don't feel comfortable. I know some husbands who say, if I paskin my own child in Hilchos Nida, then we would never be able to sleep together because I just be too nervous because I'm always so machmir in myself. So instead, I tell my wife to ask the local rabbi. Again, not talking about high maturity, it's talking nervousness. Or there might be someone who say, I'm not going to paskin my own shaylas because I'm afraid of my negiah b'davar, even though it's not a halacha, I'm afraid a person can do whatever they want. Or a person might say, I'm not going to paskin my wife shaylas because, I don't want her to be upset if I say it's usher. So rather, let her be upset if someone else. You can make any cheshbon, or I don't want her to suspect that maybe I'm being too makel if I say it's mutter because I know that she has so much yirat shamayim. Rather, let her suspect someone else being too makel. Whatever the case is, everyone should make their own personal decision, but halachically, you're allowed to.
Okay, here we get to a big sugya. Do we have someone who's officially taking a picture of your scroll? Sorry.
I apologize. I keep forgetting your job. Okay, scroll paris. There's a very, very complicated sugya. You know, the truth is the Rishonim, or the Achronim, are more complicated than the Gemara. The Gemara is complicated.
On daf. In the Teches Nida, there it is, a Chaval Pambet, Chafez and Aleph. What if a woman sees blood come out through a tube? So, at first the Gemara says, and this is also the Maskana, the Gemara very clearly, yeah, if there's an Ibaya, what do we see if, it comes out through a tube and not naturally, meaning stick a tube into the uterus and the dam comes out through a tube. Do we say Bifsara, only if it comes out through her flesh but not through a tube? Or no, maybe we don't make that drasha. Okay, we pass in Armalay, Bifsara, Rachman of Lobishful Ferris, and they have a question. They have another question. The Maskana is we defend that answer. And dam Bishful Ferris is Tahar. The question is, why is dam Bishful Ferris Tahar? It's very complex in the Gemara, and if you read through the Shakta V'Tanya, there are different issues that are brought up. What's one obvious reason you might think that Dam Mishkol Peres is Tahar? Maybe it's not the normal way to see Dam. Why are we bringing the normal way? Because the Gemara later on brings in the Shakta V'Tanya twice. It says, ain't darka shalisha, the next line, ain't darka shalisha lo dam mishpo feres, sounds like it's not the derek. And then later on also, say, what about dam in a chaticha, in a hunk of something? That's also, it's not close to them, whether it's dark or not. So really, the most pashuk shot in Gemara says, ain't darka shalisha lo dam mishpo feres, therefore she's tahora. And then there's a case of a chaticha later, And Abaya says, Marisover Darka Shalisha Luras Bachatik Mashama ain't Darka. Okay, there ain't what's the Derek or not, but clearly ain't Darka is a heter. So one Derek of reading the Gemara is that the Derek of the Rush and other Rishonim is that the Ptur is because of Shaloka Darka. The heter is because of Shaloka Darka. Dam Mishal Ferris is not the Tame because of Shaloka Darka. Bishpo Ferris, Ein Ometame, says the Rush, he's quoting earlier Bali Tosfos, says because it's not Derech of Re'ia to see through a Shpo Ferris. However, it is not so Pashut. Rashi seems to read this a little differently. Rashi says it's only Natame if she also there are closely based on a matzik, but a shofaris is matzik. And he says, oh, then why is there a difference? That comes also between a shofaris and a Chaticha, acts one of them, the Minos, not Kotzates, Min Mishinu, Minu, it's Kotzates, all Din of Chaticha. Rashi needs it as Din of Chaticha. Why later on in the Gemara do they say, if you have Dam come out of the Chaticha, which is a polyplu, and cracks the Chaticha that does touch her flesh on the way out, because it's been cracks, it's touching the outside. Why is that okay? I said, that Dam from something else. So Rashi seems to hold, and there's a whole thing, and Tosso seems to be more like Rashi, although perhaps subtly different. So let's put Rashi here at least, right? The Rush also views about quoting him and Rashi. Says Rashi, because of Chatzitza. It comes out through Chatzitza. It's only the time she touches her on the way out. A Chatzitza stops her from touching her on the way out. Let's just, well, how about the Manda Amar, who we don't pass by. Let's take it through a few stages in the Shakwa Target. Right, there's one known to Amr who you don't paskin like who says dam inside a chaticha is metame. Who was that? That was Rav Shimon bar Yochai. Rav Yochanan and Rav Shimon bar Yochai.
Right. So yeah, just we'll think this through the Gemara. How about Rabbi Yochanan in the name of Shem Bar Yochai? He said, "Dam b'toch chaticha is metame." Why? So the Rush would say, because he holds like the Lashon of the Gemara. Lashon HaGemara Savar Shedarka Liros Kach. Dam b'chaticha. Okay, it sounds weird to us. Why would she say dam inside a hunk of flesh? But the Gemara says that. The Gemara would say it's not what the Gemara means. Rashi would say that not exactly Lashon of the Gemara. But says Rashi, because min b'mino eino chotzeitz. And he holds that flesh is the mid of dam, because they're both like biological parts of people. And therefore, it's not a chatzitza. You see, Rashi looks at a chatzitza, while the Rush looks at it as a derech. How about the end of the Gemara, where we paskin the maskan of the Gemara? It's my book's son of it. It's that we paskin at least that dam bitoch chatzitza eino mitame ba'afilu dam. What do I mean? Even if the katika has like cracks and there's dam in the cracks, but it touches her on the way out, it's still not metame, right? So ain't no metame. Why? So that's very easy. Based on the Lashon of the Gemara, he says, because ain darka liros kach. Right? And we reject that. Rabbi Yochanan, ain darka liros dam mechatika. Dam. Who cares if it touched her or not? In Dr. Luriskaf, what does Rashi say? Based on the Lashon of the Brisa, as opposed to Lashon of the Gemara, that was Lashon of the Gemara. The Lashon of the Brisa was, Ein ze dam nida el dam chaticha. It's not dam nida, it's dam chaticha, which is a different kind of blood. Right? Eino dam nida ella dam acher. It's a different kind of blood, which is not dam nida, it's not atame. Okay, you see, basically, in this preferred, Rashi could be the whole Gemara. Based on chatzitza, except for the part about in the cracks of the chatzitza, which touches her on the way out. That's a different term. It's a different kind of dam. While the Rush reads the whole Gemara as based on darka liros ain darka liros. And based on that, he has a, let's see the machaber. Let's read the machaber together, Rabosai. Hechnisa shoferis vel tzia badam tahora. She put in a shloferis and dam came out. She's tahor. V'chenem rasa dam chaticha afilu him v'ukas v'hadam v'koyim v'inyan shnogeh v'sara tahora. Or likewise, if she saw dam come out in the chaticha, even if it's cracks, the dam's in the crack, so it's touching her on the way out. It's in the crack, so it also touched her on the way out. Not inside. It's not inside like with walls all around it. In a crack, touching the outside. Nonetheless, she is tahora. Why? Came and chained derech l'rostach. The mechaber is very, very clear. But Bach questions how we should paskin. The Lamaisa of the Mechaber and most Achronim are very clear that we paskin like the Rosh. The Shach quotes in the Bach, sort of Eon, because maybe Tosos told like Rashi. So here is the Bach is Machber like Rashi. Okay, we don't know why that's a former yet. But Lamaisa, the Mechaber, and all the other Achronim paskin like the Rosh. That the Ptor is because of Shlo Kedarka. Okay, what does that mean for us? Lemaisa, before we get to his case, well, what does that mean for us? So, who did I give that article to? Mike. Okay, so, the what does that mean? The Shlomo Zalman had an interesting discussion. We mentioned him in Kafke Gimel a long, long, long time ago. He was asking, what about a woman who... What about a woman who her cycle is very short and her period is very long? By the time her period ends, she comes shiv nikiyim, she goes to the mikvah, she gets her ovulation. Ovulation is about 2 weeks before the next period. When ovulation is also like ova, eggs, right? When the eggs come out of the ovary, and the egg comes out of the ovary, and a woman can get pregnant, right? Or with almost long, a woman can't get pregnant even if she's mishamish mitasa all day long. The husband could put lots of sperm cells in there in the Shechla Zera, but if there's no egg, the sperm cells don't do anything. Only once a month, then the ovary released an egg, the egg goes into the uterus, and if, in that time of the month, sperm goes into the uterus because of Tashmish, then the sperm can fertilize the egg, and then, okay, then you need a lot of Shmaya for everything to
to work out properly. It doesn't automatically work, but she can get pregnant, right? And statistically, you know, if she does it enough months, then eventually, soon enough, she'll get pregnant, right? Statistically, within a year or two, she'll get pregnant. What if the woman, let's say, her period lasts 5-6 days? Then she needs shemen akiyum. By the time she gets to the mikvah, it's already only 10 days till her next period, because her cycle is very short, and she missed ovulation. Then the sperm, the eggs already dead, too late, she'll never have kids. What should she do in that case? So remember we discussed where Rav Gustman says, okay, so she just not keep going to her and not keep shemen akiyum. The Shlomo Zalman did not like that idea, so Shlomo Zalman came up with an idea. He said, again, I've never actually checked with the doctor. He checked with some doctors, but again, medicine exchanges, then I don't know. I've never actually checked with doctors how well this works in Cetus. It says, just put a tube into her uterus and like seal around it, so that all the Damida will come out through the tube, and then it'll be Bishmoferis, and she'll have no problem, she'll never be a Nida, it'll be fine. That was his idea. In the end, he said, this is a very radical idea. He wrote a 40-50 page essay about all the questions you could possibly ask and how to answer them, and, you know, even Rav, every possible objection and why he thinks it's wrong. And he said, but, you know, there's a lot of shaylas here, so I'm moderate if the other gedolim agree. The other gedolim never agreed. I don't think anybody tried it. Again, I haven't checked with the doctor how pashut this would be to do in the first place, but forgetting about that. They say that they say he did it, yes, for his own children. Again, it doesn't say that in the tshuva, and because the other gedolim did not agree with it, so they didn't put it through the maisa. That's they say. I don't know who they is, and they say. There's a very powerful person out there called Bay, who said a lot of things. Maybe it's true. I don't know. Yeah, there's someone who's more holding. But in any case, that doesn't make a difference. Okay, one of the fascinating issues he brought up was, what about the Chumrah, the Shulchan Aruch HaRav? There seems to be machlokes between the Shulchan Aruch HaRav and most Achronim. I'm not saying no one agrees with the Shulchan Aruch HaRav. I think the Avnei Nezer agrees with him. I think all the other Achronim disagree. The Shulchan Aruch HaRav here, he says, what's the case here? It's not her derech to see that way. I did not think. Okay, most Achronim don't think this is shot. Most Achronim say, what do you mean it's not the derech to see that way? The blood comes out because she menstruates. But it's the derech that once she menstruates, the fiva of the blood coming out is menstruation. But the derech, it's supposed to come out just normally. If it comes out through a tube, that's a weird derech of coming out, and it's not kedarka. And she's Mahora. The Shulchan Aruch HaRav sees it differently right here in Sif Pes. He says, I mean, his lesson is not 100% clear. He has a deer behind it. He says, one second. And let me see if I have a clear line. Okay, says that Shulferis does not help me with Tamek Dam that came out Kedar Hanoshin. What does he mean? It means if the Siva of the Dam coming out is normal, the fact that it came out through Shulferis is not a heter. Meaning he views his first differently, that you stuck in a Shulferis, and when you stuck in a Shulferis, you found the lining of the uterus, and you like scooped some blood off of it and then took it out. But that blood wasn't planning to come out yet. He says the shulferis is not just the derech that came out, it's the tziva that came out because nothing was coming out of one's body. You stick in a tube, you go to where the blood is not yet coming out because it's still solid on the lining of the uterus. You scoop some off and you take it out. That's the answer. Meaning, he has a fundamental machlokes. Again, I'm not saying we have to pass this to Maisa. No one ever did the Rosh Hashanah thing. I'm not so super aware of how this would, of what's not going to be in a lot of cases.
But in any case, when we say not derech re'iyah, what does that mean? Not derech re'iyah, we have the Shulchan Aruch HaRav versus the other Achronim. The Shulchan Aruch HaRav says, the Siva, it came out, is abnormal. Why? Because she wasn't menstruating. You just stuck in a tube and knocked off some blood and brought it out. While the other Achronim say, no, the derech, it came out, is abnormal. The nafkamina is that weird Rosh Shlomo Zalman suggestion, right? What if you just put in the tube, so every month when she menstruates, the dam comes out the tube? According to the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, that would not be a heter, because the tiba it came out was normal. According to the other Achronim, it would be a heter, because the derech it came out was abnormal, and obviously Rosh Shlomo Zalman in that long tshuva. It's also printed in the Mishnah Shlomo, although you know, there are different Mishnah Shlomo, different seminars, very confusing. But it's also printed in the Mishnah Shlomo. He says, but we don't hold like the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, and he brings many, many proofs, and all the Achronim are against the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, that we don't hold like the Shulchan Aruch HaRav. This is one of the reasons some people doubted it. Clearly, if you're a Chabad Chassid, you're not going to believe it, you're not going to accept his Hether, because you always follow the Shulchan Aruch HaRav. Anyway, Halacha L'maisa says to Shlomo Zalman, he says we follow the other Achronim against the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, and we don't care if the Siva is normal or abnormal. We care if the derech it came out is normal or abnormal. No, what do you mean? This is dam that next week would have come out through the normal neither process, but you scooped it out early. Threw it with a tube, and that's why there's a heter. He doesn't mean it didn't come down. I mean, if you took a tube and you cut and it bled, everyone agrees that's not mashta. That's not what we're talking about. You scoop out the damnida early with a tube, that's not matame. We say, no, even if it's dam that came out for the normal sifa, as long as it came out in a weird way, that's not matame. Pashas we hold against the Shulchan Aruch HaRav. Now, then, the Rosh Mishans had, I think it was the Rosh Mishans, we had a Shimshon, had this weird case. Unless it was, I'm not sure it was Rosh, Rabbeinu Shimshon. The thing, Isha Shenekar Mokar Shalai. It's not clear exactly what this Akiras HaMokar is. There's something all the Achronim talked about, which was, it's called a prolapse, in Yiddish or whatever it's called, Arfal, which is that sometimes, this is going to sound a little weird, but it actually happens a lot. The uterus just gets a little loose and starts falling out through the vaginal canal. No, there's an opening which gets the uterus. So the uterus sort of like just collapses inside out and starts coming down. That's something which actually is, I don't know, common, it happens all the time. But like, you know, doctors deal with nowadays. Doesn't sound like that's exactly the case, but we're not sure because it's very unclear what his case was. Somehow he had this weird case. Halacha L'maisa, let me just point out, look at the Pesach Shuvah Sukkot and Zayin. Ayinim Inyan Zeh, it's a weird Pesach Shuvah. B'tshuvah Shuvah Yaakov, Uvachuvas, etc. And what does it say in the end of Sukkot and Zayin? Nesha Darvazek Yosul, Nitha Roshoshko, Mor, Lif Sukkadin. Not every rabbi can paskin this. Ki in the Dole HaDork, and Wurvachuv Zodagudi. Only the Dole HaDork can paskin this. So, therefore, I did tell you what at least Shuvah said. Because, like, you shouldn't be passing him anyway. Okay, why is this? I think one of the reasons is, not just because the Bach argues whether we should pass by Rosh or the Rosh. I assume that's the kind of thing with a regular rabbi could pass him based on some, you know, rules made by Gedolei Poskim. It's because no one has any idea what the case for Rabbeinu Shimshon was talking about is and what the case of the Mechaber is. No one has any idea what the case is. No one has any idea what the case is. And every child what the case is changes the halacha in every other case. Because clearly it's mutter. Clearly Rabbeinu Shimshon said, based on the Rosh, something's mutter. But since we don't know what he says is mutter, if we then want to extend from that to other cases, we never know how to extrapolate. And since it's such a mess, no one should ever paskin like this unless you're Gedolei HaDor. Okay, we don't normally get called on to paskin, so it's not a big deal. But let's just see what the issue was. Her uterus got uprooted, fell out. And little pieces of flesh are falling into the base of the vaginal canal. It's Behorah.
Okay.
Okay, then there's more details, but those are different. Now, what does the what does Rama add? Filu ras adam, even if she finds blood. As long as the teeth of the flesh are in the beis achitzon, she's tahora. So we assume the dam comes from these chatichos. Since he knows for sure that she had an akiras hamakar, her makar fell, umachas makehu, it's a maka. Now, I mean, if you read the Rishios, if you know what's going on, there are masses, even if she finds blood, but what did the machaber mean the kula was? Even if she finds blood, if she doesn't find blood, then you don't need a kula or any shimp, but maybe a gemar. Anyone who doesn't find blood is the hora. So if you look in the Rishios, he explains that what he thought the case was that, like the case of the Gemara, and actually, there is a machlokas tanon in the Gemara how to paskin about tali peluye dam bevkain. There is a. Let me just make sure we get this case of the. What is it? Tali peluye, something like that. Is that the lashon of the Gemara? Whatever the case is, tali peluye. Yes. What is that case? Is that here you have. A piece, a chatika, and it's not the blood is inside the chatika. The blood is in the cracks, which means it touches her on the way out. So that's a machlokas tanaim. So, according to the Beis Yosef, what's this sock of Rina Shem? So, it's like the Chacham against Rabbi Eliezer, right? That this is okay. That if chatika is coming, chatika is the dam, then whether the dam is inside the chatika, you know, like permanently sealed, or whether it's in the cracks, it's mother. Okay, and Rama says, no, that is ridiculous. Rather, if that stand-down came out, so stand-down came out, what's the heter? The heter is because there's also chatichos. Okay, what exactly? And here, it gets, again, I'm not claiming we're really going to understand it properly. Just to see what the basic issues are. What's the case of Rabbi Shimshon? What came out, and why is it and why is it tahor? What came out and why is it tahor? So says the what the case of Rabbi Shimshon Nekar Hamakor. Again, sounds very gross. It's not so clear, but one of the main thing that the Akronim discussed is that they didn't seem seem to have this exact case. They seem to have the case of the doctors familiar with nowadays called a prolapse. I think anything can have a prolapse. It just means something like comes out where it's looking inside. Okay, in other words, simple. I'm not blocking what it means, but like somehow the uterus just like comes inside out and starts to come out. That is that what he was discussing? Not the way everyone else makes it sound, but no pieces there. It just starts coming out. And what's the relationship between that case and the case we're actually discussing and all the different scenarios? That's what only the way of our passes. Okay, nowadays, obviously, with modern medicine, we don't have a. It's not so possible to cure this. It's not like the simplest thing in the world, but obviously, we have ways of dealing with it. And, you know, most of the time, this doesn't become a health leakage. So that's my allergy. But says the Machaber, and the Machaber, right? Chatichos came out all the way. Meaning she might find the chatichos with dam in the cracks of the chaticha. Okay. Says the Rama, no. Holds man shachatichos v'beis achitzon shela. What does it sound like? It sounds like the chatichos don't come out. The chatichos stay in the beis achitzon, and the vaginal canal. They're out of the mucker, but then out of her body. But the blood comes out to outside her body. All right, so what does the Rama say? The Rama and I think the Bach and the Taz, they all, I think, agree to this.
It's going to...
Or
The chatichos, the chatichos stay in the base hachitzo. The chatichos don't come out. Chatichos stay in the base hachitzo. Again, maybe this is more like the prolapse state. It's hard to translate between their case, that the front of that, probably. But stay in the base hachitzo, and dam comes out, meaning out of her body. Right, came out of her body, not just out of the lower. Came out all the way. And dam comes out. And nonetheless, it's okay even though dam came out. Why would we give dam come out? If stam dam comes out, why is it okay? So the Rama is a little funny, and this is the kasha everybody asks the Rama. What did the Rama sound like? What's the reason for the heter of this dam? In two words? Meaning go back to Kofay Tani, meaning all dam from Akan talk. Okay, what's the obvious problem all the Rama have with the Rama? No, that's right. Not to the mucker is also tar. Again, nowadays the only shayla we normally get, except for weird surgical procedures, our mak is in the sud. But okay, is that then? What does that have to do with the sugya of the shpoferis? Dam maka is dam mishka. That's a different sugya. What does that do with the shpoferis? Okay, maybe the shpoferis of Haram would be okay. Now it's a different sifa that dam comes out. Okay, the master Arma says so. Why? In dam, why is the blood mutter then? So says the Rama, dam maka. Okay, it's again, it's a little unclear, like that's not what it sounds like in the rush, but maybe dam maka. Says the Bach, no. Says the Bach, it's because it, okay, someone put the Bach here, no. Well, the Shach quotes the Bach, but he doesn't explain him terribly well. But says the Bach, because when is Dam Matami? When it comes out of your body? No, when is Dam Matami?
Yeah.
When it leaves the muck. When it leaves the muck and goes into the base hachitz of the vaginal canal. That's when it's Matami. It came out of the of the makor in the chaticha. It came out of the makor in the chaticha, and then it came out of the chaticha. Says the Bach, yotza me hamakor b'toch chaticha. Rak Akarka Yatsa Meha Khatifa. Ah, the king out the mocker in the Khatifa, Dama Khatifa, Damatami. Right? That's the Sukya Dam Shofer, Dama Khatifa. How do we know it came out of the Khatifa? How do we know it came out of the mocker inside the Khatifa? So he actually says Kumra. What does the Nakamina of this? He says, therefore, even before that, he says, therefore, the Tanai. The tonight is vodka kishter yatsu hachatichos v'lo matadam. Ah, he makes a kimto. When the chatichos came out of the mokor, when the chatichos, they didn't come out of her body, meha mokor. When the chatichos came out of the mokor, there's no blood, which means only chatichos came out without blood. Then what happened? Then the blood came out of the chatichos and came to the outside of her body. But no blood ever came out of the mokor. So it was inside the chatichos. At the moment when the tame, which is going from the mokor to the beis hachitzon, the blood is in a chatich and it's not the tame. The fact that it went from the beis hachitzon to the outside world without a chaticha is not the tame. Because a woman, it doesn't make a woman nida when the blood leaves the beis hachitzon and goes to the outside world. Only when it leaves the mokor. The Taz says a little different. The Taz here says, that even if there was blood that came out to the bayis chitzon, lo asr tolok shemakor nishar b'mkomo v'adam yotzi menenem she'in ken kan shemakor atma molch adam imo ve'in zeri derech v'iya she'asr Torah. Says the Taz, he says, nope. im hamokar atzmo yatsa im hadam in the derech ri'iyah.
Derech ri'iyah is the uterus taking place
and blood leaves.
If the uterus comes out, even with the blood,
because he has a different mitzvah.
The blood cannot, not inside the mitzvah, the blood cannot stop. But since the blood came out with the uterus, that's an abnormal way of bleeding, and it's not atomic. Okay, so here we have a bunch of different theories. Again, the Mechaber says that the blood came out in a chaticha, and then you find a chaticha, she finds a chaticha on her underwear, with blood in the grass. The Ramah says, no, the blood came out, stop, but it's obviously a maka, because look what's happening here. The Bach says, a little similar, no, the blood came out in a chaticha, but she never found chaticha. The blood came out of chaticha, the chaticha got stuck in Beis Achiton, and then the blood came out of the chaticha once it was in Beis Achiton, it flowed to the outside, but at the moment of leaving the makar, the blood was in a chaticha. And the Taz says, no, the blood was never inside anything, but it came out in an unusual way, because when the makar comes out with the blood, that's an unusual way of bleeding. Okay, there's just a few of the shitas.
The Bach would have to agree to their own God to the extent that they would think that the time that comes up and it was still from
he would say that once the blood comes later, we're told it on the chatichos and not on a new bleeding.
Right.
Correct. But he's still tying it into our sugya, right? And that's why the Bach says that at Bishas Vesta, she has to be matmir, because Bishas Vesta, maybe this is just a different dam that didn't come from the chatichos. While the Taz would say, what are you talking about? As long as her mucker is coming out, that's an unusual way for a vet to fall. Who cares? Okay, so the Maisa, don't paskin this unless you become one of the Gedolei Hador, because this is very complex. And the complexity comes from the fact that it all starts with one psak from Rabbeinu Shimshon, and no one knows what Casey was talking about and what his reasoning was. Even though it seems to have something to do with the sugya, but no one knows. Okay, let's just briefly run through the rest of the simon, and there's only one lemaisa in it we want to discuss. The who, he adds, shehitel continuing the mechaber hachatichos mayim poshim veloni mochu. This is only, says the mechaber, if the chatichos aren't blood, because what are we going to see in Sif Dalet? That a big red solid piece could just be congealed blood, and then it would still be mitami. Interesting fun fact. Blood that comes out solid and congealed is still metamic if it's blood. So maybe even the chaticha is blood. How do we know the chaticha itself isn't blood? Obviously, this is the Mechaber's pshat and the Taz's pshat, no chaticha. In everyone else's pshat, no chaticha came out. You don't have any chaticha, it's all inside. But in the Mechaber's pshat, the chaticha came out. How do we know maybe the chaticha itself is blood? So the answer is, you have to put it in lukewarm water and it doesn't melt, and that's how you prove in Sif Dalet that it's not blood. Okay. Yeah, but you don't have it to put into poshim, right? And the shach disagrees with him, and the shach says, the shach quotes the Darkei Moshe, says that, what are you talking about? According to my pshat, no, this is a certain special, first of all, he says, this is a special syndrome that it's in the base of so there's nothing to talk about. And the Shach also says, no, maybe it's just like, you know, this doesn't look like congealed dam. Like, that's why it's called chatichos. Okay, but that's the technicality, whether you have them or don't have them, whether you could tell by what it looks, it's not dam. Okay, the last thing is very important, but we will mention that again. He said, "V'dakach chdiyos ketanos dumi d'shmol peres aval chatichle gedola tmei afilu rosa klum lefi she'i efshar lefsich lekever blodam afilu b'neifal shel gumrus rosa." This is big halachah mice in many cases. There's a rule called "Ein psichas hakever blodam." There's actually machlokes tanam ki rabbi machacham machlokes yishimin. What is psichas hakever? Means opening of the uterus, right? What's the classic case of opening the uterus? Things like this, weird things come. Miscarriages is where they talk about opening the uterus. Can the uterus ever open without releasing dam? Because miscarriages can be all kinds of, usually, again, in all normal cases we're familiar with, miscarriages have plenty of dam and you don't need to have a week. But in a theoretical uncommon case where something weird comes out of the uterus opens, releases something weird, and there's no blood. So it's a machlokas whether we assume there must be blood even though we didn't notice it. But it's impossible for there not to be blood.
The Rambam paskins, there's no blood, there's no blood. Mutter, we paskin against the Rambam. All the other Rishonim are mashver. They'll see this later on. Aim sickles careful lotan. So if something comes out, there must have been blood. So says the Mechaber, again, this all is due to the, says the Mechaber, if little Chatifos came out, wasn't there also other dam that came out with the little Chatifos? Because whenever the uterus miscarries something, it also put that other dam. So why is there an Isser because of Aim sickles careful dam? Yeah, the Taz would have the question. He would say, we know there's Dom, but it's Dom in an abnormal way, so who cares? But the Mechaber says just the clump came out. The Dom in the clump is not a problem. But shouldn't there also be other Dom? Because whatever the uterus opens, it releases regular Dom. So he said, no, that's obviously only if the uterus opens wide. But if it's a very narrow opening, that's not called Psychos Akever. Very narrow opening, not Psychos Akever. And that's very clear because the next sif talks about all kinds of solid things falling out of the uterus. And if they're not blood, it's okay. All of the uterus opened.
As a matter of fact, the lines will tell us the uterus sometimes will open a little.
After all, how does the sperm get in? Sometimes open a little, And no, a small opening is not seen as a kever. Only a big opening is seen as a kever. That's clear. Just go to Dalet. What are the things in Dalet? Okay, even when we don't read it yet. That if some solid piece comes out of the uterus that's not blood, she's not a nida. Why don't we say if any solid piece comes out, the uterus must have been open. When it's open, blood comes out. No, only a big opening dam comes out, not a small opening. That's muskam on all achron, right? That there's a, when it comes to psichas hakever, if it's a big opening, then we say ein psichas hakever below dam and she's a nida. There must have been dam. If it's a small opening, then it's extra below dam. If there's no blood, there's no blood. Right? Now, Kamina is, if we don't find blood, if it's a big opening, she's Tmeya anyway. And if it's a small opening, she's Tahora. So the Machaber just said she's Tahora. Oh, what about Inksif's careful dam? The answer is a very small Chatika, a small opening. What's the getter of big and what's the getter of small? Here's a machlokas between the Mechaber and the Grah. Most of them hold like Mechaber. We'll task it a little later in a later set. What does the Mechaber say? Basically, does the Mechaber have any proof what's the shear of big and small? Absolute proof in Shas? Do they have any proofs in Shas? No. Well, okay, let me think. The Mechaber said, I don't know what's big and what's small, but I know one thing. Chazal talked about a Shvilferis. And they don't worry about that case. So a shofaris must be small. And therefore, everything a shofaris must be small. Whatever is a shofaris or smaller, you know is safe. Whatever is bigger than a shofaris, I can't guarantee. So basically, what does the Mechaber say? The Mechaber say this is shofaris or smaller. Must be small. That's what he said. Chatifos are only caves are smaller than shofaris. So ferris are smaller, must be small. Because we know when you stick in a shofaris, we don't pull that seat together. Okay. There are more to say about that, but not for now. But anything bigger than a shofaris, not that he has proved, but anything bigger than a shofaris might be big enough to be seated like ever. That's what he says here. This is only true if small pieces like a shofaris. But anything bigger than a shofaris is tmeya, even without any dam, because we have a rule that when there's specifically covered, there must be dam, whether you see it or not. That's the grah. That's the Mechaber, the grah. You just look at the grah here in, not here, but the grah at the end of the siman, where the Mechaber repeats it. The last grah of the siman says, let's read Sifvav then. Let's read Sifvav. And the last line, it's only mutter if a small piece falls out. Then, like a shofaris, what kind of tube? Dacha dachim, the thinnest tube. Whoa, that's where you come from. Only the thinnest tube. After all, how do you know what kind of tube there is? Only the thinnest shofaris or smaller is falling up. Anything bigger than the thinnest shofaris? Is a chance to see if I ever.
Can we say that very supposed to mimic the aver?
No, that was a different kind of shofaris than this. That was a shofaris that didn't go into the uterus. This is a shofaris that goes into the uterus.
obviously much smaller. Okay. Now since birth, they're going to the Beit Achitza. That applies to an aver, but an aver doesn't go into the uterus. You can only get very small things into the uterus. Yes, it just means anything hollow is a tocopheris. Could be this thing, could be this. Okay. Said the bra, the last bra in our simon says, what does he accuse the mechaber? He says, we don't know what the shear is, therefore we do not for anything bigger than the finished tooth. It says, I'm all prepared to Zion to Olo, so we mean the Phelim, etc. The bra says, no, you guys are all wrong. The shah accepted the mechaber. The top step of the mechaber, the bra says, you guys are all wrong. You couldn't figure out the exact shear of Tzikla Kever, so he said, I'm not for anything bigger than the smallest tooth. So who knows? Maybe that's big enough to see the cavern. Parag Zion. Right? The everyone knows the mission. Olos Parag Zion says, Ain when Phelim speak the cavern, a miscarriage not called speak the cavern, Achi Agila Rosh Kipika, and though the round of their head is as big as a pika. I forget how to say pika in English. I'll explain it to you, but you'll have no idea what I'm talking about. You know what a pelech is? A single? It doesn't matter. A pelech is a spindle. It's a tool that was used in the old days, mostly by women, to spin thread. Spin thread means you take the little pieces of wool and you spin them into a long thread, a long ball of thread, right? You ever wonder how we get like cotton thread in the soup bit, you know, in the hardware store? Cotton grows, it's this big. All of a sudden, become a spool of thread that's a mile long. But you spin. Spinning means you take all the small natural fibers. You spin them together so that they get so stuck to each other so tight, one, they all overlap, that they become a mile-long ball of thread. Okay. It's a very, very impressive invention. In the spinning wheel, you have like a stick that you turn around and around, and in order for it to rotate around and around, it has like a heavy disc on it that gives it momentum to go around and around, and that's what spins the thread. Okay, if you want to know more, just look up Wikipedia on spin or something. That's the pika. The pika is that round weight, that round disc that's on the pelech, that's on the it doesn't matter. Kitzer, it's kind of tool they have in the old days, right? It says a portion all those, and Balaam, it says that it's not called seat the kever unless the head is as big as a pika. So there we see, and that's a shape of seat the kever, it's a portion all those. He does seem to have a good point, this girl. Obviously. Okay, if the girl was arguing, Nathan Drazen, we would say, you are more, it's like, you know, Shaykh and all this. The girl in here is arguing on the Mechaber, right? I don't say there's nothing new short on the Mechaber. No, I'm not going to shine some of those, right? I'm more than that. So, look, Ora, I still think the Mechaber is in a weak position here, but the obviously new shines. Oh, the Mechaber would say, no, that's a different context. What was the context? The context there was Thomas Ohel. Was if the fetus, the fetus is miscarried, is dead, when do you say he's matami the ohel, and when do you say he's balua in the mother, and he's not matami the ohel? The answer is, if he's the kever, then he's matami the ohel. And there's only six of the kever if it's this big, as big as a pika, right? The achronim assume a pika is about 2 centimeters, like a ketzba. Okay, almost an inch, right? Although there are all different kinds of pikas. Okay. So but obviously it's a lot more than the thinnest tube ever. I mean, it's a big enough femina, meaning everything is bigger than the thinnest tube, and almost nothing except for like very, very serious, you know, miscarriages are bigger than pika. So Anyone the Phelim seeks like Kevra, Chagila Rosh, Pika. Machaber, for some reason, thought, no, that seeks like Kevra in your Thomas. Oh, hell, is nothing with seeks the Kevra in your Dom. Okay. I mean, the Machaber's the right to that. I still think it's amazing to win. You know, they were using the same phrase. Not like an obvious phrase, like seeks the Kevra is openly the grave. Technically, one's uterus is not a grave. It's a weird, euphemistic phrase. Okay. Hello. Lemaisa says the Grok, based on the Mechaber, doesn't have a good mucker. His mucker is just like, well, I'm really afraid that I don't know what it is, so anything bigger than a tiny tube might be sitting in the Kever. The Grok says, no, just look at Chazal, you find together. The big opening is Pika or more, and smaller than a Pika
is not Psikas HaKever. Okay, big nafkamina. We'll discuss this a little more when we get to Tumas Leida a little later. Let's remember there's a big nafkamina, right? What if he's come out of a woman's uterus without any blood? And it's 1 centimeter wide. What if this big? Right? This big piece comes out of her uterus. The grub would say, that's not Psikas HaKever, it's smaller than a pika. She's Tahora. The Mechaber would say, what do you mean? It's bigger than a tiniest tube. We all have straws smaller than that. And therefore, it's a Shasha Psikas HaKever, and she's Tmeya. Okay, we'll paskin this a little later. We'd be Machmer, because even the grub has a good point. A lot of the opponents seem like Mechaber, but we'll see if it's more complicated. Okay, I know our time is up. I want to run through some of the rest of this simen, which is not things, I mean, I guess things that could be a lot more, not things come up a lot. Let's just read it very quickly. Whether it's liquid or congealed, it's mea. Even if a shape comes out of her, like a red thing, like a peel, or like a hair, or like a little bug, to mea, right? Because, you know, a lot of sort of random clumps actually look like little bugs. Tamea, it's Tamea. Congealed blood is Tamea, even if it's in a funny shape, we still say it's blood and it's not something else. How do we know it's congealed blood and not just a solid piece? If it melts, if you soak it in lukewarm water for 24 hours and it melts, then it's called blood. If it doesn't melt, then it's called flesh and it's not Matami. We hear my potion, they have to be lukewarm the whole 24 hours, which is the sofo. The shear him go mine shall shout the kite, may a nor or a mayan, but under bias, a home mice, a hamasan, the him shall able cast me shear post and rose apart. How do you know the together of lukewarm is? If you draw water from the well or from the spring or a river in the summer and then put it in the house where it stays warm, in the winter you have to figure out the equivalent. Add the Ramah, stand potion, and come yosef, and yosef rook. Said the Ramah, nowadays about the Ramah is easier to base ourselves in the Ramah. Stam lukewarm means body temperature is good enough, right? The chamimas of spit, how hot is spit when it comes out? Just body temperature, meaning body temperature is considered lukewarm.
It's not more hot.
What?
It's not more hot than topic.
He said it's no more than body temperature lukewarm. Okay, so you mean if your body temperature, you're safe. If they're so hard that they don't melt in 24 hours of soaking lukewarm water, she's tahara. Even if you can liquefy them by squishing them on your fingernail, doesn't matter. If it doesn't melt in lukewarm water 24 hours, then it's not blood. If you could squish them with your fingernail, that doesn't prove anything. But if you can squish them with their fingernail, then kavo chomer, they would have melted 24 hours, and it's okay. So if you squish them with your fingernail and squishes, it's something dumb, and you have to be machmir, because maybe it would have melted 24 hours, maybe not. But if you squish with your fingernail and doesn't squish, then it's for sure not dumb. Again, this doesn't really happen nowadays. Hey, pamed vormum shem lo nimoku tohor v'nan shem v'shem vormum shem inyuan dam pa o yesh al lehet shom l'chloch dam tmeya. When is this? Only if they're dry, they don't have any liquid blood that came out on them. But if liquid blood came out on them, they're tmeya. Inside the cracks, no. But on the outside of the chaticha, that's tmeya. That's considered coming out in a normal way because it just comes out next to something. So if it comes out outside of the chaticha, that's the matami. After Ramal, who had in this machu, and mochu tzosser, tzosser, and mochu tmeya, if part of it melts, part of it doesn't melt, it's tmeya because part of it is blood, and then it came out next to a piece. Miu nearly did vodka shalt from kamasha russell and mochu klaus show, they increased the window, kashi rachaka, their flesh, the hooks to it, the worm, ilu aim, dam, rakbomi, makash, the kufa. But if 3 times she checked it, it didn't melt, she doesn't have to check her whole life. Now it's chazaka that what comes out is she has some problem. She has some maka that makes solid pieces come out that are not blood, and she can assume that chazaka for the rest of her life. The dog can be ishish or bethes, told shah bethes. Only she's a bethes, and it's not the time of the bethes now. So she's far gaming maka, meaning compares to a maka, she ain't gonna do it, she must get down, which you can only be makel if she has a bethes, and her bethes is not right now. And there's a whole machloch between the shach, and then the pisnei tshuva brings down. The shach disagrees with this. He says, no, what do you mean? She knows there's a problem, solid pieces. She can be told, regardless of the death. And the pisnei tshuva quotes from the Amude Ketef, makes a pshara, if pieces come out, she can be told forever, regardless of the death. But if pieces come out with blood, if you have to be full of the blood on the maka that quote the pieces, that's only if she had the best of the shach festival. When do you do this bedika? If it has a shape, like a klipa or a sara, but if it's just a red clump of blood, even if it doesn't melt, it's still blood. Meaning if it's a clump without a shape, it's blood even if it doesn't melt. The yesha, when she got with that certainly goes to cheer. Something say even that, not sorry, I mean, it helps, right? You can be make it. Even this, you could do a bedika, and if it doesn't melt, it's okay. And you have things like tonic, shear, shofar, stock, or come back, shouldn't back, like we explained. The shach explained to be possible like the first day, but again, the donat so lemaisa. So we'll pick up next time. We're going to Hashem on Tuesday with some kofbe tests, dine vestos, which are, you know, will be very, very okay. It's a long pivot. Some of these are like weird cases that are not likely to come off, but many of these are going to be very, very lemaisa. If anyone wants a copy of the Shulchan Aruch, you can find it here. It's, you know, you have to read it carefully.
The cases that are brought up of Chippo Paris are cases where it's not Mayo.